it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Hockey News, American Pipeline podcast presented by BetMGM and McKenney. I'm Mike Stevens. Sitting virtually across from me is Sydney Wolf. Sydney, how you doing? How was your week?
Doing pretty good. It's kind of weird to think that now it's November. I mean, what the heck? We've already had a full month of college hockey and other hockey and even longer in some leagues. So it's really weird to think that it's November already.
Yeah, time really is a flat circle. Like, it's just, it's insane that it's already even, you know, like, we're recording this on Thursday. It's insane to think about that it's already that. Like, it's, I don't know about you, but when you get older, time just seems to really speed up. And I don't know, I'm only 26, but I'm starting to feel like, you know, my days are numbered. Time is just marching along. It's crazy. But, you know, we have more than enough time here to talk about everything that's happened in the, as we like to call it, the American pipeline of hockey, you know, the NCAA, USHL, you know, all of that. And we have some NCAA and USHL performers of the week that you pinpointed, Sydney. So why don't you take us through a couple here and we can dive into them.
Yeah. So obviously, like, the league picks out their own performances of the week, but we just took more than that because normally there's only one or two per league or per just division, whatever you want to call it. So we just picked out a couple that were some of the big performers of the week, some USHL and then a couple NCAA ones. But starting with USHL ones, I know everybody's been hearing this name, but Macklin Celebrini, again, has just been killing it in the USHL for the Chicago Steel. And he's not even draft eligible till 2024. So he's just already, you know, making a name for himself right now. And this past weekend, he had 4 points in one game against Green Bay, 3 goals and 1 assist. So that's pretty crazy. You know, he's really young playing in the USHL. He's not draft eligible for another, you know, not next draft, but the one after that. So I think he's going to be a really, really great player. That was a big performance, 4 points in one game. So that was really cool to see, you know, getting the hat trick and then tacking on another assist. So that was awesome. And then Chicago Steel teammate was one of the other ones. Chicago Steel, as we've talked before, they've been a real powerhouse of a team. They've got, like, pretty much all the top leading scorers in the league, including Nick Moldenhauer, again, Toronto draft pick.
I know we've talked about him. Talk of the town lately.
Talk of the town. He just committed the other day to Michigan, which I know I heard some rumblings earlier this spring. That's where he was going to pick, but then it sort of quieted down a little bit. And then he did officially commit to Michigan this week. So that's another huge commitment for them.
I mean, it really came as a shock. It really came as a shock because I believe his agent slash family advisor once played for Michigan back in the day. So I'm sure that didn't factor into the decision at all.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really know how all that works out, but he did officially commit there, which was big because obviously he's one of the top players that I'm sure he had offers from probably everybody. But he'll be heading to Michigan. But he also had a huge weekend, 4 points in that same game, just reversed. He had 1 goal and then 3 assists. So just flip-flop from what Celebrini had. So another huge game from him. The Steel have some really, really good talent this year. So that was awesome. And I believe Moldenhauer is leading the league in scoring last time I checked. So Toronto fans, you've got a really great prospect coming through the pipeline. Moldenhauer is going to be really good. And Michigan, you know, has so many good players right now, and they're going to get him in the future. So they have some really, really good prospects coming their way.
All right, let's go next. Carter Mazur. You were nice enough even in here to put in the pronunciation, and I still blew it. So just take it away.
I just did that because Carter Mazur. So I've been confused on his name too. I've heard so many people because he played in the World Junior Tournament too, I believe, recently. And he's one of those players. Everybody said his name a different way. So I went to the line chart, took exactly how they spelled it out because that's how I was going to say it for pronunciations. But Carter Mazur, he's a Detroit Red Wings draft pick. I think we touched on him in one of the past shows. But
I think we did in our first episode. Yeah.
Yeah. He's part of a very dangerous Denver squad that won the national title last year. So obviously he's already going to be good. He had a huge freshman season last year. But this past weekend in 2 games against Miami, he had 7 points. So that's a lot. No, excuse me, not 7 points. Sorry. 5 goals in 2 games. I was reading the next line. He has another teammate that's on this list, but 5 goals in 2 games. And both of them were the game winning goals.
Incredible.
So, I mean, he's a really good player. And again, that's going to be an awesome prospect to watch if you're an NHL fan. 5 goals in 2 games. That's a lot of goals.
That is a lot of goals.
They were technically the game-winning goals both nights. So that's pretty awesome. And what I was going to say about the 7 points is his teammate is actually the next one on this list, Massimo Rizzo, who we talked about when we previewed Carolina's team profile for the NHL. He has 7 points in 2 games. So again, Denver had a really big weekend against Miami, Ohio, not Miami, Florida, for anybody who hasn't been keeping up with them. But they had really big weekends. So Mazur with 5 goals, Rizzo with 7 points in 2 games. Those are really big point totals for college hockey. You know, if someone has 2 goals in a weekend, that's a really good weekend. So these players had 5 goals and then the other one had 7 points. So that's really huge. Denver, I think they're going to be a powerhouse again this year. Some people weren't so sure, but those two players really, really good this week. And this next player, I think, is really interesting because this is a player that actually isn't drafted. He's not a draft pick, but has had a really good showing. And I think he's going to be a very big free agent here in the coming years. It's Ryan McAllister of Western Michigan, which, looking at his stats from last year, I don't think people should be too surprised. He's been doing really well. It looks like he had over 130 points in 60 games for Brooks of the AJHL. So it's like, oh, well, that's insane. How did people not know he was going to be like this huge incoming freshman? I don't know. But he had 5 points in 2 games against Michigan, who we've talked about, very good college hockey team. I believe Western Michigan lost in overtime. I think it was both nights. So they didn't win the games, but he had 5 points as a freshman in that weekend against a very, very good Michigan team. So that's really cool to see. If he can keep it up, he's going to be one of the top freshmen in the NCAA because he is right now, but it's still early. So don't want to predict anything.
Okay.
But that's a really, really good start for him. And yeah, he's kind of a player I didn't hear anyone talk about before this year. And now he's kind of blown people away a little bit, which is cool. So we talked about some NCHC teams, and now going over to some East Coast teams, Alex LeFerrier, I believe is how you say it, of
not
Harvard.
Not the guy in the Rangers. I made that mistake
when he was drafted. Very close.
Yeah.
Close name. But different person. He plays for Harvard. He's an LA Kings draft pick. Harvard just started playing this past weekend because the Ivy League team started playing. They play later in the season than the other teams do. But in their opening game against Dartmouth, first game of the season, 2 goals, 2 assists in 1 game. And I think that means he had a hand in 4 of the 5 goals they scored that night. So that means you're a huge part of the team. So obviously that's just one of 2 games they played this weekend. But that's a really big performance for him. So really cool to see that. A player to be excited about if you're an LA fan. And then one of the last ones on here, I have another name people are probably familiar with, Lane Hutson. I know there's been a lot of hype about him this summer for the draft and all that stuff of Boston University. Scored both goals. So there's only 2 goals scored for his team in this game. He scored both of them. And one of them was the overtime game-winning goal. So it was, I think it was 0-1. He tied it up 1-1, and then the game went into overtime. He scored the game winner. So it's like Lane Hutson doing everything over there for BU for them to win over UMass Lowell. So a couple of East Coast schools there, but he had a really big night. So it looks like he's living up to the hype right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask like Habs fans, Lane Hutson is a guy for them. Like he's someone that's they're extremely excited about, you know, one of those picks, somewhat even in like maybe the DeBrincat kind of realm where, you know, people will one day go like, how do we not pick this guy? How did he go so late? You know, he's undersized obviously, but I mean, that's a big performance. You know, everyone was going to be watching to see if he could keep up this production and you know, like sort of his size wouldn't limit him. And here he is, you know, continuing to do some really good things. All right. Who's the NCAA player to watch in your eyes?
Yeah. So in this week, every week now, I want to kind of just pick out a player, player to watch, player to keep your eye on. Cause that's fun to do. There's so many players. Why not pick out a couple? And this player has been doing really, really well so far this year. Jimmy Snuggerud. I'm sure that last name is familiar to some people. He's got tons of family members. If you look up him on any stats page, it'll say like related to this person. His dad, Dave, was a really good hockey player. So familiar name to a lot of people. He's only 18 years old, but he plays for Minnesota and the Golden Gophers. And he's been really good. It's hard to be a freshman in college hockey, but he's done it really, really well. I think he's second in points on their team, is only a freshman, 9 points in 8 games. He's just been key for the Gophers so far, and they're going to have some tough matchups here as a lot of teams head into conference play. So I think he's a player to keep your eye on. It looks like he's set up to have a really big freshman season. He's had a couple of really big games so far. So keep your eye on Jimmy Snuggerud, because I think he's going to have a really big year. And he's really, really good so far. And he's a St. Louis Blues pick. So any St. Louis fans out there, you also got a really, really good performer coming up here through the American pipeline, as we like to say on the show.
There it is. There you go. The college hockey performers of the month, you know, they were announced yesterday. It's like, you know, we're going to get to, you know, the goalie of the month and everything, but we need to spend like a minute or so just solely talking about what Adam Fantilli is doing. Because what this draft class, this 2023 draft class is coming in here. First of all, any team that has traded their first round pick is going to be kicking themselves, because what people are describing this draft class as is a kingmaker draft class. The kind of like that at the depth at the top of the first round is going to, like, there are potentially a couple franchise changing players. One of them is Adam Fantilli, who is, you know, he is not necessarily, I think, going to overlap Connor Bedard, because what Connor Bedard is doing is pretty nuts as well, just in junior hockey opposed to the NCAA. But what this kid is doing as a freshman in college hockey is bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either if anybody's going to pass up Bedard, but Fantilli has given him a run for his money, at least, you know, having teams there, if they think they're going to be in the running for the first round pick, they might actually have to make a tougher decision than they think, because there's a lot of, like you said, really, really good players coming up for this year's draft. And the College Hockey Commissioners Association, that's a mouthful, but just came out with their performers of the month. And it's not often you get a rookie of the month and player of the month, the same person, much less the first month of college hockey that they've ever played. Like, sometimes it'll happen later in the season once they're like a little bit used to it, you'll get one. But I can't even remember a time there's been the first month of a freshman's year, their player and rookie of the month. So that's how big Adam Fantilli has been so far. He not only leads all freshmen, he leads the entire NCAA in scoring as a freshman and as a young freshman. He's not like a freshman coming in who, you know, is a little bit older like some of these other college players. So in 8 games, he has 18 points. So pretty good, pretty good. So he's just been really, really good. And then runners up for the award were Carter Mazur, who we already talked about, Ryan McAllister, we already talked about, and then Blake Bennett of AIC also has had some really good points. I'm sure we'll mention him on future shows. But Adam Fantilli, man, really, really good. And yeah, he's got a bright future ahead of him for sure.
Is this the best like college hockey debut we've ever seen?
I don't know. It might be if he can keep it up and just keep it going here, at least for the next month. Because first month, you know, it's just a couple of games. But if he can keep it up for November and for the rest of the fall and winter, then yeah, I think it might be on track there. Because that's a lot of points for a freshman. But another player that earned their other award from the College Hockey Commissioners Association, or HCA, I believe people use that. This one was actually a surprise to me. I'm a St. Cloud State fan, but I was kind of surprised to this. Dominic Bassey, men's goaltender of the month. He's a Chicago Blackhawks draft pick. He earned this award, which it is deserved. I just didn't think he would get it. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about it, but I'm excited because I'm a St. Cloud fan. But he's 4-0, so he's won every game he's played. 1.25 goals against average and a 0.945 save percentage. He just transferred over from Colorado College, where he played the last few years, and he's had a really great start. So huge props to him. I'm excited about that, but he gets the first HCA goalie of the month honor. So that's cool.
Very cool. A couple other performers of the month, you know, whether it's in Hockey East or the CCHA, but one is Ryan Tverberg of UConn. I think this is a great story because he was picked last, like he was the last pick of the Leafs in the seventh round in that 2020 draft that was done all virtually the second day that took like 11 hours. It was insane. A funny story is that like he, just because of the lack of like actual tape that you could have on these players, because, you know, COVID had shut down most of their seasons and things were, everyone was kind of flying blind here. Like his dad was sending like Leaf scouts, like sort of highlight reels of his son, just desperately being like, you know, this is what he can do. And the Leafs picked a guy, you know, in the seventh round, and everyone thought, all right, well, I mean, they're done. Like, it's over. And then they made this random, like, seventh round swap with the Bruins, like, that just was so, it was, came at, like, again, it came at the end of, like, this 9-hour day. Everyone was like, oh, no, this is, like, it doesn't matter. It barely ever registered. And they chose Ryan Dverberg with it. And now this guy has done nothing but, like, become, I'd say, probably the team's most underrated prospect. He almost made the World Junior team last year. He'll likely do that this year. He's, you know, he's really showing his mettle, and here he is, 11 points in October. Like you said, he's the Hockey East Player of the Month.
Yeah, so he's had a really great performance for a UConn team that's been kind of sneaky. They actually have been moving up the rankings, so they're starting to get some more of that clout from everybody on the internet, but they're actually a pretty sneaky good team, and he's had a really good showing so far. He's 11 points in 9 games, so more than a point per game, which is really good. You know, his first year in college hockey, he played 14 games, had 7 points, so decent for a freshman. Last year did pretty good, almost a point per game, and now is lighting it up in the early on in the season. So it'll be cool to see what he can do, because yeah, if you get him in the seventh round and he ends up being a really good prospect, that's a pretty good steal in my opinion. So that's cool.
Oh, it's huge. I just love that, you know, like he was literally like almost the last pick of that draft, and he's continuing to, you know, surpass people who were picked 2, 3, 4 rounds ahead of him. I think I just love those stories. Another one, AJ Vanderbeck from Northern Michigan.
Yeah, so this is actually a player that's one of those older players, actually, that is just going to be a free agent, but I think is going to be pretty dang good. He's actually 25, so he's one of the older players in college hockey, but he's a senior this year, fourth year, because I don't think he played in his first year with Ohio State. I'm a senior of some sort. I don't know if he has a fifth year eligible or not, but he's been lighting it up. He's got 13 points in 9 games, so he's the CCHA forward of the month, so a ton of points on there, and he has a league leading 52 shots on goal, so that's a pretty good stat. If you just want a player who's just going to take as many chances as they can, and a good chunk of them are going to go in, that's going to be the player that you're going to want to see, and I bet there's going to be quite a few teams after him after this season if his eligibility is up, which I think it will be, but he's been really good.
There you go. All right, what's your team to watch moving forward here?
Yeah, so every week now, or some weeks here, I want to pick a team to watch that might be a team that's sort of like a sleeper team a little bit. So this past week, I thought it was just going to have to be Arizona State, which, you know, there's been tons of talk about Arizona with, you know, Mullet Arena and the NHL team. But the college team, I think, is actually going to be a really, really good team, actually. You might not see it right away when you look at their overall record. They're 5-4-0, but they just came off a really big upset win against North Dakota for the Hockey Hall of Fame game, which, huge win for them to beat North Dakota. I know the North Dakota fans were not excited about that because they had a lot of fans there. And if you look at their games, though, the games they've lost have been really, really close. Actually, two, I think, of their losses have been in overtime. So that's almost a tie, basically. So they've been really, really close in a lot of these games. They swept Colorado College, which is huge. And then this week they'll play Alaska Anchorage at Mullet Arena. So I assume that'll probably be a sweep for them. But they actually hit the transfer portal really well and picked up some really, really good players. I believe their top two scorers are actually both from the transfer portal. And Robert Mastro Simone, I believe is how you say his last name. Kind of long. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. But it's him and then Lucas Sillinger, who was also a transfer, one of Bemidji State's top players last year. So they're leading the team. They hit the transfer portal and they hit it really well. They sort of hit a jackpot there. But they have a really strong team. And they're, you know, my team to watch. So I think they'll probably get a sweep this weekend. And I think they're going to be moving up the rankings. So keep your eye on Arizona State, because I think they're good. And I think Mullet Arena could be a fun place for them to play, honestly.
Absolutely. I mean, potentially they're the best team that plays in their own ranks. So that's pretty interesting to watch there. All right, top 5 games of the week.
So these are just quick games. We're just going to touch on games that are happening this week. Here's my top 5 games that you should be watching this week in college hockey. Number 2, Denver plays number 4, St. Cloud State. That's going to be a battle of a game. They're playing it in Denver, though, so that's always tougher for the away teams. Mm-hmm. Boston College plays Merrimack. Merrimack coming off a big upset win last weekend, so they got some steam going. So I think that actually might be an interesting matchup, although some people might say it's not. I think it is. 2 really big Big Ten games. We got Penn State playing Michigan and then Minnesota playing Notre Dame. Those will both be really interesting to see what happens there. Penn State is undefeated so far, so we'll see how they do against Michigan. And then Minnesota, you know, they've had some ups and downs, but are still really high in the rankings. We'll see how they do against Notre Dame. And then the last one I have on here, UMass versus Providence. I think that's going to be a really big, you know, Eastern U.S. team matchup, especially for the standings, depending on if one team's able to sweep. So those are the top five games of the week, in my opinion. I think those are going to be really fun games to watch in college hockey.
Now, just before we get into our next team profile, just some interesting little notables here. And one is that the Omaha Lancers were fined $20,000 for flying back from a tournament. What's going on here?
Yeah, so that was just released this week. It was sort of a weird situation. I think the team actually put this out first, if I remember correctly. They put out like a press release that said, hey, we were fined this amount because the Fall Classic, where all the USHL teams, you know, get together, they all play each other early on in the fall. It was in Pittsburgh this year, so it's pretty far for a lot of the teams on the western side for the USHL. So the Omaha Lancers, I believe, bust to the Fall Classic, which all teams are supposed to bus, you know, all the time. They're not supposed to fly. But they actually made the decision to fly back from the tournament just because it sounded like in their press release, they didn't want players to miss more school or things like that. So I'm not sure exactly the situation, but they said, you know, we stand in our decision, and they were going to try and get the league to rethink the rule, but they were fined $20K as it stands today. So that was pretty big news, because that's a lot of money for junior hockey teams. You know, that's not money they can just easily shell out and pay. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there or if the league's going to rethink it. We'll have to wait and see.
And then another one is the National Team Development Program's Gabe Perreault commits to Boston College.
Yeah, so that was the other big commitment this week, aside from Moldenhauer, is BC, I think, has the entire NTDP first line committed now. It's Perreault, Smith, and Leonard. So if you're a BC fan, that's, you got some really good players coming up through the pipeline. You better be excited, because you have some really, really good players. But I bet if you're on the NTDP and you're like, hey, we're going to BC, do you want to keep playing really well with us? Come to BC. I'm sure that's got to be, you know, a factor to it. But they have a really good recruiting class coming up here, and they just added another star player. So good for BC.
It's a good deal to make, that's for sure. All right, let's get into our team profile. This week we're doing the New Jersey Devils, who have quite the pipeline of NCAA and USHL prospects. Let's start off with Artem Schlein.
Yeah, so I actually think New Jersey has quite a few really good prospects in this mix. They're all NCAA. I don't believe they actually have any USHL players as of now. But Artem Schlein, he plays at Northern Michigan. He was actually a transfer. He played for Connecticut the past 2 years. 6'1", so pretty good size. Center from Russia. I believe he's technically a college junior. He played his younger hockey at Shattuck St. Mary's. A lot of players of coming course out of there that are really good. And was a fifth-round pick, I believe, back in 2020. His first and second years were pretty good points wise, but I think there's just more to his game for him to really, you know, pop out or make himself just a little more flashy, get some more points production wise. But he's had a really good start to the year this year. He has 9 points in 10 games. So maybe because he transferred, maybe he just needed a change of scenery, change of teammates. I'm not sure, that helps some players. So, you know, he's done pretty well, but I think he's got another level he can still achieve. So we'll see if he'll be able to do that for Northern Michigan this year, because he's had a pretty good start. So that's cool.
There you go. All right. Then there's Patrick Moynihan.
Yeah. So this is a player from Providence College, which I think is another pretty good team this year. He's got 4 points in 7 games played. He's 5'11". He's a right wing from Massachusetts, and he's currently on the top line for PC, which is a good team. So being on the top line means you're pretty good. Sixth-round pick back in 2019, was a former National Team Development Program player, which, again, means you're pretty good. Yeah. This is his fourth year at Providence, so I think he can opt to do a fifth next year if he wants. I don't know what his plan is. But so this is his fourth year, and his best year so far has been 25 points in 38 games. So good points production, but kind of like Artem Schlein, I think he still has another, you know, he can hit another gear still. You know, there's still something he can probably keep working on. So we'll see how this year goes for him, or if he elects to have a fifth year, but still a really solid a player to have in your pipeline.
And then we have a smaller defenseman, you know, from Michigan, but he's born in Miami, who was actually a second round pick in 2022. It's Seamus Casey.
Yeah, so New Jersey has a couple of really good players from Michigan, which obviously have a ton of really good prospects on their team. The first is Seamus Casey. Again, he is a little bit smaller, 5'9", but that's okay. We've been seeing smaller defensemen do very well lately, so that can be totally okay. He's got 9 points in 8 games so far, so really good points production-wise. He's a freshman, too, so putting up that type that's of huge points as a freshman, really good sign. He was previously on the national team development program as well. So again, that means you're a really, really good player. And funnily enough, the next player on this list is actually his defensive pairing teammate in Luke Hughes, which I'm sure everybody knows Luke Hughes. You know, he's one of the names everybody always talks about, but they're both going to be going to New Jersey. So I think that's good news if you're in New Jersey, because you have a little bit smaller Seamus Casey, and then Luke Hughes is definitely on the taller side. Obviously, he was very high, I think fourth overall. Yeah. So very high level prospect, and people know his brothers, obviously. He's a sophomore, so people weren't sure if he was going to come back for his sophomore season. He did, which I think is actually a smart choice, just to keep rounding out your game, keep getting better. Last year, he had 39 points in 41 games, so great freshman year. I assume he'll probably start playing pro after this season, because he probably could have after last season, but decided to come back. So I assume he'll be done after this year, but really, really good start to the year too. 8 points in 8 games, point per game so far, World Junior Cup player, and also the regular World Championships. So, you know, I mean, he's a great prospect, and I'm sure all the New Jersey fans are already excited about him. Just keep being excited, because he's still really good.
Yeah, he's looked really good against, you know, all different types of competition, whether it's grown men, whether it's, you know, World Junior stuff, or whether it's collegiate players. I think, you know, there's a reason why everyone's really high on this guy. All right, then there's Ethan Edwards, also from Michigan. He's also a defenseman.
Yeah, so actually, I actually mixed this up. So Casey doesn't play with Hughes. Casey actually plays with Edwards, is what I was going to say, but they're all on the same team. So that's why I got mixed up. Please excuse me to anybody listening, but
I'll forgive you. Don't worry.
But they're all on the same team. You know, New Jersey really likes these Michigan players, apparently, so it can be hard to keep up a little bit. But Casey actually plays with Edwards, so they're on the same defensive pairing. And then I think Luke Hughes is on the top pairing right above them. I'm trying to picture the line chart in my mind. But Ethan Edwards is actually a little bit of a less flashy player compared to the other two. But when you're getting compared to Luke Hughes, you know, it's hard to live up to those standards.
Yeah.
But Ethan Edwards is 5'10". He's from Alberta, fourth round pick in 2020. He's a player I assume will probably just keep playing in college and keep rounding out his game every year. He's got 1 point in 4 games played so far. Last year had 11 and 36, so pretty decent, but, you know, is probably just going to keep going through college. Should probably play 4 years to just keep growing his game, keep rounding out his game. But him and Casey seem to be working really well together on D. So New Jersey has a really good defensive pipeline coming from Michigan. So if you're a Devils fan, I guess you're just a Michigan fan now, I guess, because
you might as well be three
solid prospects on the team. So those are all the Michigan people. We're done with the Michigan people now.
If there's a pipeline you're going to pick from in college hockey lately, it's probably going to be Michigan. They've graduated a couple very good players.
Yeah. So they have three Michigan prospects. They're all defenders, but they're all very good. So,
and they're all varied in types of game, you know, like Luke Hughes is the big 6'2", you know, like D, then Seamus Casey's the shiftier 5'9", and then Ethan Edwards is more of a defensive focus, but 5'10". There's some variety there, you know?
They have some variety, but same team, they're players that are going to play with each other. So if you expect they're all going to be playing, you know, at the NHL level, they're already going to be familiar with each other, which can be a really beneficial thing too. In the future, in your lineup, you have all three of those guys, and let's say Casey and Edwards on the same line again, they're already going to know how they play, which I don't think that would happen, but we'll see. That could be cool, though, because you're already going to know each other's playing style and how you're going to react and all that stuff in the game.
Precisely. All right, switching over to BU, we got Case McCarthy. 2 points in 7 games.
Yeah, so Case McCarthy, again, another defenseman. I guess New Jersey just really likes getting defensemen from the NCAA, because I think almost all of them on this list are defensemen.
Yeah.
So they really like the NCAA route for defensemen,
which is
good. But a bigger guy, 6'1", from New York, round 4 pick in 2019. This is his fourth year at BU. Again, he probably could opt to be a fifth year. I'm not sure what his plans are as of now. Last year was 14 points in 29 games played, so decent point production, nothing like crazy amazing though. I believe he does play with Lane Hutson, which is cool. That means you're probably pretty good. I don't think they're gonna just pair any player with Lane Hutson, you know, because he's obviously a very high level guy. And Case McCarthy, I think, is sort of like the bigger guy compared to Lane. You know, you got one bigger defenseman on the pairing and then one sort of smaller one. So I think he's sort of like the bigger, more defensive guy, and Lane, you know, has been scoring a lot of goals and is sort of the smaller, probably quicker guy. So they're kind of a fun dynamic. to watch for BU. So it looks like, again, another pretty solid defensive prospect for New Jersey.
All right. And then we're going down to our final two here. We got another defenseman, Charlie Leddy, this time from Boston College.
Yeah. So another big defenseman, 6'2". He's from Connecticut. 1.5 games played, was a round 4 pick, I think, this past draft. So pretty recent. Was on the national team development program. So again, that means you're pretty good. Not just anybody can make that team. He's only a freshman. So, you know, I wouldn't expect him to just be like crazy points this year, because a lot of people, most freshmen besides the one we've talked about on this podcast that have been, you know, lighting it up, it usually takes a while to get acclimated a little bit. But Charlie Leddy, if you look at his stats from the NTDP, it looks like he's just not really a goal scorer guy. I think he only had like 2 or 3 goals for the NTDP, but he had a lot of assists. So he's not probably going to be the guy that's like shooting the puck to score all the time, but he's good at setting other people up, and I'm sure he's very good defensively. So again, another pretty good prospect, but is a freshman, so might have some time to adjust this year at BC.
There you go. And then finally, we have Victor Hertig, a European, plays in Michigan State, from Sweden, another defenseman.
Another defenseman, but this one actually is the biggest one. He's 6'5", so big, big dude out there on the ice. And big guy. He doesn't have any points yet, but only 4 games played, so I wouldn't really worry about that yet. He's from Sweden, 6th round pick in 2021, and he's a freshman. So again, I'm sure he has plenty of time to develop in Michigan State. They actually have a really good, some really good commits that are going to be coming up through Michigan State in the next few years. So they could actually be a fun team, and he probably is going to have a lot of good teammates to play with in the next few years. He looks just kind of like, from his stats, like that typical, you know, big defenseman that's likely not going to be putting up like crazy points every night, not a ton of crazy points production, but is probably a good, you know, big defensive player, maybe an enforcer, you know, just that bigger dude that can help out on the back end. So they got kind of everything if you look at these defensive prospects, which I think they all are, except for the first two that we talked about. They had one center and one wing, and then the rest of them were all defenders. So they got kind of everything. They have smaller defenders, bigger defenders, guys who can score, guys that are more defensive. So they kind of have felt out all of college hockey and just sort of been like, we'll take one of this, we'll take one of this, which might be smart, because then you never know. You might get one good player of all kinds, which is probably good to have in your defensive core if you've got defenders that can do lots of different things and have different specialties. So overall, I think a pretty decent prospect pool for New Jersey and NCAA.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's everything, you know, in the American pipeline this week. We'll obviously be back next week to break down another team, go through, you know, recap everything in the week, and then also look to the week ahead as well. It was great to do this again with you, Sydney. Love to do it every week. Can't wait. It's going to be a good one.